The moon stays in orbit because Earth pulls on it. Earth keeps the moon from heading off in a straight line, which it would if gravity were suddenly stopped. On the other hand, a more modern description of gravity was discovered by Albert Einstein early in this century. According to his general theory of relativity, mass causes space itself to curve. The moon stays in orbit because Earth curves the space around it, and the moon simply rides this curved space to remain a companion to the Earth. For July 31st, that's our program. Stardate is written each day by Deborah Bird, and it's produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. In Austin, Texas, our zip is 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Radio station WUSB.
Stony Brook.
Good morning. It's 5 minutes after 12 o'clock. I'm Eric Corley.
And I'm Mike.
There he is.
Oops, here's Tom.
Mike, where are you?
Certainly. I really am.
Uh-huh. Well, Mike's there somewhere.
Are you there?
This is the voice of Long Island.
I don't know.
I think. Yes, this is the voice, all right. It's not.
I was in the wrong switch like you were the other day.
Oh.
Oh, that's a weird thing. Weird way of
well,
saying
you weren't, you weren't talking over me like I was talking over you that day.
Yeah.
Well, good evening. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
How's it going?
Just fine and dandy.
We're back.
And we certainly are, yes.
Ready to do all sorts of other things, try different new experiments, that kind of thing, over the radio.
Yeah.
So tune in for the next 3 hours. You don't know what's going to happen. Because we don't know what's going to happen. And,
yes.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We'll be taking, again, your questions, as we did last week.
That's true, our for the question, first hour. Question of the week.
Question of the week. Maybe one or two, or even three, like last week, if there are some good ones.
Yeah.
But you're the folks who are going to give them to us, and mm-hmm. I'm sure there are questions out there. Last week, we answered quite a few questions. We found out what the speed limit of Brazil was.
Mm-hmm.
We found out, what else did we do?
The toll for a bus loaded with 43 passengers going over the Verrazano Narrows Bridge westbound.
I see. Two axles.
Two axles.
Okay. And
we should have asked for six axles as well, but Three axles.
Three axles?
Such as
I'm not one on axles. You see, that's the problem.
Mm.
And we also found out what the official language of Chad was. So
that's right.
This is not so much a trivia type of a question. It's just something that, well, it would help if the person asking the question doesn't know the answer. Let's put it that way.
That's true.
Yeah, so if it's something that you've always wondered about that's nagged you, you know, that kind of thing.
It's kind of like Problem Line in Newsday or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of like, except silly problems.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. So you want to give our phone number?
Well, yeah. I'll give the phone number. Then when I get to my back to my hate list, which I never finished last week.
Oh, yes, your hate list. And you probably added more to it, too, right?
Yeah.
Let's introduce ourselves, by the way.
We did already.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, I did anyway.
Oh, I wasn't listening. I was listening. I was in the P switch instead of the X switch.
Well, that's your problem, but you've been introduced already, and you missed it.
Well, thank you.
Our telephone number is 246-7901. And if you want to call us up, that's the way to do it. Now,
do you want to know how to do it?
We'll show the folks how to do it in a second.
Okay.
A couple of things I just want to point out that I can't stand, and if someone wants to add to this hate list, by all means, give us a call, because well, the things that always bug me, that's for sure. All right, Mike, this is one for you.
Uh oh.
And I want you to listen to this. Don't you hate people who hum in supermarkets?
No.
You don't?
I hum myself.
Oh, my God.
But, I'll hum a Clash tune or something like that.
Mike, I don't know what the people in supermarkets are humming. All I know is it drives me nuts when I go past the fruit and vegetable section and there's some middle-aged housewife going, you know, I mean, you don't want to stand next to a person doing that. You don't know what they're going to do next.
Yeah, well.
They may start screaming next and throwing bananas at you, you know?
That could be.
You know, if people are in a public place, a whistle is okay. I think whistling is a little bit too chipper for me, you know.
No, I don't like whistling. I'd rather have humming than whistling.
You'd rather have humming than whistling?
Yes,
but whistling, you know, it's kind of
some people
silly,
I know,
but
some people go like bum, 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 bum.
That I can take. I don't know what you call that. It's
folks,
not humming. It's bumming.
Some folks even just go, bow, 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 bow.
Bowming, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, humming. Well, let's hear you hum if you like humming so much. Okay, folks, you be the judges of this one. If you like to hear humming on the radio or anywhere, or if you don't like to hear it, let us know. We'll be the judge and jury and prison guard and all that kind of thing. All right, let's skip over that one. I can't stand that. That's one of the strongest things for me. When I'm in the supermarket or even a department store, even outside, you know, they just seem to haunt me, these people humming. Oh, I mean,
remember that time we took the trip up to Connecticut with a bunch of folks from USB and we ended up in a department store up there because I had to buy windshield washer solvent and somebody paged Howard Tripod?
Yeah, I think we knew who that person was who paged him.
Yes, I knew. I saw it was Uncle Jonathan.
Well, yeah. What, did you see somebody humming in that supermarket?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Oh, okay. I mentioned last week that I couldn't stand people who obey broken traffic lights, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, I got stuck behind one last night on the way home from the radio station.
You shouldn't have ever been here, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I decided as an experiment just to see how far this person would go.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, I'm going to sit behind this guy and see just what happens. The light was obviously broken. It went in every different direction. This is one of these super directional lights. It has an arrow going every possible way you can go.
Backwards?
No, it doesn't have that one, but they probably have the facilities. They went through every single light at least three times. Now, I've had trouble with this light before. I knew it wasn't going to go off for us, but I decided to just wait to see how long this person was going to take to figure that out.
Yeah.
Well, we stayed there at that intersection, these little two cars, mine and the guy in front of me. We stayed there for a good 20 minutes. And I was patient because I considered this sort of a psychological experiment.
A learning experience.
Yeah, to see if somebody would actually dare to break a law that had no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Or stay there for the remainder of the night. Well, finally, I said, hey, I can't do this much longer. I'm going to run out of gas. So I pulled around him and sort of went my way through the red light and everything and off into the distance. And as I looked in my rearview mirror, he was right behind me. He was just waiting for someone to do it first, which is what most people seem to want to do. But
where was this light? Can you give us a general...
Well, let's just put it this way. I've reported it many times to the state, and they've in effect said that they couldn't care less, which is pretty amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been broken for months, but... Yeah, a little psychological experiment there.
Yeah.
Maybe next week I'll have an encounter with someone humming in supermarkets. Okay.
Or whistling.
While we're speaking of states and towns and counties and stuff, this is something else I can't stand. Towns and counties that put these little white pebbles and broken glass on the shoulders of highways.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that recently on some county roads?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what that does to bicycles?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So you ride on this pebbly, glassy type stuff, and it flies up into your face, hits you on the back. And the cars go by.
Yeah,
the cars go by, and they whip it up, and it hits you all over the place at fast speeds.
Yeah.
And you can't get any traction. You lose the sense of direction, and you fall into these little pits. I'll tell you, respect for bicyclists just has got to go up, or you're going to see a full-fledged war between bicyclists and motorists, never mind pedestrians and little dogs and things like that.
With little fur and sweaters.
Okay, the final thing on my hate list for tonight is mockingbirds that don't know when to quit.
You still have that same mockingbird?
I don't know if it's the same one, but he's really pushing his luck. I'm going to get a cat, a big one.
Oh, boy.
I mean, what's the point? There's only one. There are not two mockingbirds. Who is he entertaining?
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Maybe it's a tape recording from last year that one of my neighbors is playing out the window. But
yeah.
Anyone knows how to get rid of mockingbirds, give us a call. Well, we need to know that.
Do you want to explain how to dial?
You pick up a okay, it's very simple. I'll tell you what, I'm going to do it myself, all right? I'm just going to pick up the phone and dial 246-7901. Here we go. What?
The number you have reached, 246-7901, has been changed. The new number has been disconnected. Please try your call again later, and an operator will answer.
I don't understand this.
246-7901. Has been disconnected. The new number is not in service. Please try your call again later, and an operator will answer.
Special operator, what number did you dial?
Hello.
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 Special operator, what number did you dial?
I dialed the number that exists. I don't know why I'm getting this special message here. 246-7901, it's WUSB Radio. Now, what is this about being disconnected and moving to a new number and calling later and all that? We're giving this number out to our listeners.
I don't know what seems to be the problem.
Well, the problem's obvious. I have you. I don't want to have you. I want to have the radio station.
What'd you call me for, then?
I didn't call you. I called the radio station. How come I got you? You're not at the radio station.
This is a special number. What number did you dial?
I know it's a special. It's a very special number. It's our radio station.
What's the
516-246-7901 is our telephone number. We want our listeners to call us with all their input and output and all that kind of thing.
Then what'd you call me for?
I did not call you. Do you understand? I did not call special operator.
Wait a minute.
I called my radio station.
If you're at that radio station, why are you calling yourself?
I'm calling to test out the number.
I've had enough of you, creep.
I'm testing the number, which obviously doesn't work.
You never know when to quit, you college kids. I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
Well, no, we're not. Don't call us college kids. That's not fair. We're just as good a radio station as anybody else. We try hard. You know that?
Uh-huh.
Nobody gets paid around here. You know, sometimes a little inadequacies, but we try. We're sincere.
I don't have other phone calls to answer. What'd you say your number was?
I bet
was?
You never listen to our radio station.
I listen to your station all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Especially that Anthony White character.
Oh, okay.
Well, he comes on at 3 o'clock, don't he?
Well, then, since you're a listener...
Yeah?
I'd like you to do something about our telephone so it works. Can you do that for us?
Well, let's just say, call up the radio station, 246-7901. I gotta go. I got other phones to answer. Goodbye.
Oh. Hopefully we won't get you again. My goodness. Oh. I'm sorry. Well, give us a try anyway.
Eric, what was that all about?
I don't know.
I'm in the other studio. I can't come running in there. I can't get hold of you.
Well, I tried calling the number. I mean, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a special operator. I don't understand what just happened. I really don't.
I don't know.
Well, look, let's have our listeners call us anyway. The number should work. If you get that special operator, give her hell, that kind of thing.
Unless she's a listener.
She is listening. She said she listened to Anthony White, who comes on after us at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I listen to Anthony White.
Yeah?
Yeah, on my way home.
Well, then you and the special operator have something in common.
Uh-oh.
16 minutes after 12 o'clock, this is the voice
of
Long
Island. Give us a call.
With a question, with
or
a
an
comment,
answer. Oh.
With anything. Please.
Or a request.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what we're going to play right now. That's why.
I know what I'm going to play.
Well, then why don't you play it?
Okay. Allen Ginsberg.
Product of capitalism. Bird brain, chief bureaucrat of Russia, yawning. Bird brain ran FBI 30 years, appointed by FDR, and never chased Cosa Nostra. Bird brain apportioned wheat to be burned, keep prices up on the world market. Brain lends money to developing nation police states through the World Bank. Bird Brain offers brain transplants in Switzerland. Bird Brain wakes up in the middle of the night and arranges his sheets. I am Bird Brain. I rule Russia, Yugoslavia, England, Poland, Argentina, United States, El Salvador. Bird brain multiplies in Russia, China, and the United States. Bird brain inhabits Stalin's corpse inside the Kremlin wall. Bird brain dictates petrochemical agriculture in Africa's desert regions. Bird brain lowers North California's water table, sucking it up for Orange County agribusiness banks. Bird brain clubs baby harp seals and wears their coats to Paris. Bird brain runs the Pentagon, his brother runs the CIA, fat ass bucks. Bird brain writes and edits Time, Newsweek, Wall Street Journal, Pravda, Izvestia. Bird Brain prepares Wonder Bread with refined white flour. Bird Brain sold slaves, sugar, tobacco, alcohol. Bird Brain sent 20 million intellectuals and Jews to Siberia. 15 million never got back to the Straight Dog Cafe. Wore a mustache and ran Germany on amphetamines the last year of World War II. Bird Brain conceived the final solution to the Jewish problem of Europe. Bird Brain carried it out in gas chambers. Bird Brain borrowed Luca Luciano, the mafia, from jail to secure Sicily for U.S. Bird Brain against the Reds. Manufactured guns in the Holy Land and sold them to white boys in South Africa. Bird Brain supplied helicopters to Central American generals to kill a lot of restless Indians, encourage a favorable business climate. He began a war of terror against Israeli Jews. Zionist planes to shoot Palestinian huts near Beirut. Bird Brain outlawed opiates on the world market. Bird Brain formed the black market in opium. Bird Brain's father shot Skag in the hallways of the Lower East Side of New York. Organized Operation Condor to spray poison fumes on the marijuana fields of Sonora. Bird Brain got sick in Harvard Square from smoking Mexican grass. Bird Brain arrived in Europe to conquer cockroaches with propaganda.
became a great international poet and went around the world praising the glories of bird breed. I declare bird breed to be victor in the poetry contest. He built the World Trade Center on New York Harbor without regard where the toilets emptied. He began jumping down the Amazon rainforest to build a wood smoke factory on the riverbank. Bird brain in Iraq attacked bird brain in Iran. Bird brain in Belfast throws bombs at his mother's ass. Bird brain wrote Das Kapital, authored the Bible, and the wealth of nations. Bird brain, humanity. He built the rainbow room on top of Rockefeller Center so we could dance. He invented the theory of relativity so Rockwell Corporation could make neutron bombs at Rocky Flat in Colorado. Bird brain's gonna see how long he can go without coming. Bird brain thinks his dong will grow big that way.
Bird brain found out he was a Buddha by meditating.
Bird brain's afraid he's gonna blow up the planet, so he built this rocket to get away. So he says no to be immortal.
Metropolis. Hooked on Necropolis. Addict of Metropolis. Do the worm on Necropolis. Slam dance Cosmopolis. Enlighten the populace.
It was like flame thrower.
commune.
But the ghetto's in their chest. His face painted whiter than he was led to rest.
Died in Marseille.
Ghetto defender.
Buried in Charleville.
This is Pharaoh in 50. Nazi gas, no bathroom gold. Stop you thinking this is a tree.
Shut up. Meditation, old Chinese flu, kick jump, what else can the poor worker do? That's the only one.
Get up, defender, in terror. Not see guys, no bad on gold.
Actually the first blues I wrote.
Oh, when you gonna lie down by my side? When the spirit hits you, please lie down by my side. 3 nights you didn't come home, I slept by myself and sighed. Oh, when you're gonna look me in the eyes? When the spirit hits you, please look me in the eyes. Oh, honey, come hug me, take me by surprise. Take me by surprise, come home, lie down by my side. Away 3 days, sometimes I cry. Lie here alone, heart open wide. Gone another night, hand on my heart, close my eyes. You don't want me in your arms, don't want to hear me. That's how I'm alone. That's how I'm gonna die.
Then began experimenting more with different forms, listening to Skip James. New York blues, walking blues, andante.
I live in an apartment, sink leaks through the walls, Lower East Side full of bed bugs, junkies in the halls, house been broken into, Tibetan tanka stole, speed freaks took my statues, made my love a fool, speed freaks took my statues, made my love a fool. Boom, 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 ba, 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 boom, ba, 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 boom. Days I come home tired, nights I needed sleep. Cockroaches crawled in bed with me, my brain began to creep. My work was never done, my rest'll never begin. I'll be dead and buried, and never pleasure win. I'll be dead and buried, and never pleasure win. Lover boy threw meat at me, cursed the day we met. Speed freaks and bedbugs, New York City's what you get. Someday they'll build subways, get rid of all the cars. Cops kill all the bedbugs, speed freaks land on Mars. cops kill all the bad bugs. Speed freaks land on Mars. Bum, 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 bum. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
November 1971. December 1971. That was December, actually, 1971. And then I went, being interested in folk and blues then, from a more professional point of view, went to a church in the village to hear a concert of folk music and bluegrass and banjo with Happy Traum and Artie Traum and their Putnam County string band. And while listening to their concert, wrote out a whole group of songs. Two of them done in the church. New York Youth Call Annunciation. New York Youth Call Annunciation. New York Youth Call Annunciation. Come all ye Jewish boy friends that live here in New York. For years we have been reading your delicatessen talk. Now it's time to enter in our bodies and to scream. Now's the time to wake up from the international dream. Two generations ye've hidden your light and your sex. Your parents starved to master matter and your consciousness perplexed. Now all these matter junkies are lost in Moloch's maw. You're left alone in universe, your habits to withdraw. Come all ye black boys that live on New York streets, slaved for decades in Harlem, beat and jailed by police. Rise up, ye rainbow consciousness, over Manhattan Isle. Let loose the joy of mastery, you conquer the white style. Come all ye Puerto Rican cats exiled from tropic sun, to labor in the ice and soot of poisonous capitalism. Beat your drums and chang guitars, proclaim your softest joy. Ye will not drink from white beer cans, nor be his junkie boy. Come all ye Amerindians that drink in Brooklyn's bars, let loose your ancient buffalo cry, chant under Sand Street stars. Redeem the mental nation, wake the great mother's corpse. Human bodies ye are still, whatever iron warps. Come, O poet Italians, long scared of the syndicate. Secret death and blackmail made your brains work late. Sing over the rooftops your ancient Cumayan blues. Dance with your Afric brother the world's old tender news. Come out, your Greeks and Russians, ye Arabs and ye Slavs. Boogie woogie down Broadway, weep tears of many loves. America was lost, ye children found her again, squatting on the planet, belly full of metal sin. Highways full of speed, brain city full of junk. Television blew her mind, her eyes are plastic gunk. Every little scream she made was cause for planet war. Oh, soulful Eastern boys and girls, lead home our mother whore. Oh, Polish boys, jump up from Cleveland, Chicago's seed. Stop eating meat, kielbasa, sausage, lonely greed. 1 acre of grainy labor, or 1 acre of green, yields instead of pigs 20 times the same protein. White boys, turn off your air conditioners uptown. Breathe the hot air shimmering the city's concrete ground. Use ye not the beer cans and slick national paper ads that poison minds and hypnotize your own sweet moms and dads. White boys of Manhattan, white girls of New York, come gather all together your loves for the great work. Kneel down, adore your brothers and sisters of soul and skin. Lay hands on all your bodies, your touch makes the world kin. Oh, come, ye children that grew up New York around your ears. This century ends with brimstone, or else your tender tears. Gather vigor in heart, gather intellect in your brains. When God stiffens your spine, only emotion remains.
Yeah.
Yo.
Allen Ginsberg. You know, you don't have to be a beatnik to like Allen Ginsberg, that's for sure.
That's true. That's true. He was mentioned in an article in the paper one day this week about...
New York Times, wasn't it?
I was thinking of a different paper, in fact. And a whole bunch of these beat people were meeting out in Colorado or
right,
something.
Right. Yeah. For the Jack Kerouac Memorial or something.
Right.
I read that today, in fact. I'm pretty sure I did. I think it was New York Times. Maybe it was two papers, you know. That's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, I saw it the other day, and I think it was Newsday.
Well, we heard something from Allen Ginsberg's first blues album, which is on Folkways Records.
A good record label.
Yeah, Rags, Ballads, and Harmonium Songs. That was Allen Ginsberg singing and accompanying himself on the Benares Harmonium.
Ooh.
Yeah, we heard 4 a.m. Blues, New York Blues, and New York Youth Call Annunciation.
We didn't hear Put Out Your Cigarette Rag.
No, we didn't hear that one. That's quite a popular one around this station, I know that much. We also heard Allen Ginsberg doing stuff with The Clash. And The Clash? Yeah, Ghetto Defendant. He's on the new Clash album.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was him talking in the left speaker.
I was down getting the pizza.
Ah, and we also heard Bird Brain, his fabulous single. Oh, wait a second. I've got something for you. Oh, yes.
What is it? Is it your
this
Mockingbird or something?
No, this single... is Allen Ginsberg with a band called the Gluons.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he did that song Bird Brain, which is a great song. It really is. Have you ever really listened to the lyrics
of
that song?
Yes, I have.
They're so topical, no matter what time period it is.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, a lot of people have asked, what's on the flip side of that record?
Are we going to play it now?
Yeah. In fact, what's on the flip side is a song by just the Gluons, without Allen Ginsberg.
Uh-huh. What is it, the dub version?
No, this actually has nothing to do with Allen Ginsberg. He sang with the Gluons on the first side, but on the second side are just the Gluons with a really terrific song, I think. It's called Sue Your Parents.
Ooh.
Here it is.
Where?
Well, the turntable stopped for no reason, but we'll start it again. There it is.
I knew the way I wanted. They did not care. see. Always smile for the camera. I have to say please and thank you. They used to be the gold pay. See your parents. See your parents. See your parents. For direct access to their love. Home is like a prison. The body's like a cell. Brain is going in that cell. But now, very well, very well, very
Big Bucksman. You know me, WizKid, program director for that rock and roll station at the other end of the dial. Well, whenever the Titan repetitive playlist on our station bores me to tears, I listen to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. It's the freshest, most innovative music on the island. WUSB, the music I want to hear before I know I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll say. 16 minutes to 1 o'clock, and you are tuned to the voice of Long Island. We're still taking your phone calls with all your amazing questions that we're going to start answering at 1 o'clock.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have a couple of good ones there.
Tough questions, you know? Really hard things.
Incidentally,
some people suggested flushing a mockingbird down a toilet. That's great if you have it, but, you know, mockingbirds are outside, and you can't very well catch them because they're only out at night, so that does not serve as a good solution.
Well, why don't you put a spotlight on your pellet gun or something like that?
Yeah, you could try that, but it's a bit hard. I don't even know what a mockingbird looks like. I really don't. I think we went through this whole discussion last year at about this time.
Yeah, we might.
It's very possible. We seem to repeat things like this.
Repeat things like this?
No, sort of like, yeah, now you got it. You just had an interesting conversation with our pizza delivery person, I believe.
That was pretty interesting. I never thought there's so much to Indian philosophy.
Now, you know, not many people get into a discussion about Indian philosophy with a pizza delivery man, but why don't you just tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it was in reference to the total bill, and this particular number had certain significance in Indian philosophy.
Soundtrack to Tron, incidentally.
That's true. It was something like 432,000 years. 432,000 years is a certain period in Indian time kind of thing. And it was just really kind of weird. The guy was really into this kind of stuff.
This is American Indian?
No, oh. No, Indian Indian.
Oh.
As in Prasad
Varanasi Indian.
Yeah.
As in India hour, Sunday nights from 1 to 2. Sunday afternoons from 1 to 2,
right,
I'm sorry.
Right. Just before Walt Scratch.
Yeah, well, without turning this into a full-fledged promo for Radio Free Weekend, which comes away every weekend.
Oh, by the way, Lister's on tomorrow at noon, you know.
That's true.
With 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
Are there any really
reggae
particular points of this Indian philosophy that...
No, it was just, I was just very, very enthralled by the whole thing, because here he was explaining this as if I was hanging on his every word. And I was. Yes, I was. That's the strange part.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Only in Stony Brook is something like that. Maybe New York, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of catching up to us. But Stony Brook is one of the few places where you can have a pizza delivered and get a discussion in Indian philosophy.
Hmm.
Indian Indian, not American Indian.
Yeah. I don't know if this has to do with...
American Indian you can get in Westbury, I think.
Yeah, that could be. Because
I always got a pizza there.
Did you really?
Yeah, and American Indian stuff, sure.
I've probably told you this once or twice before, but a friend of mine once got a pizza in Montana.
Montana?
Yeah.
Wow.
A Western-style pizza. I'm sure I must have mentioned this on the air once or twice at least before.
A Western... Now, usually they don't say things like that. Usually they say New York-style, because everyone knows New York is where it all comes from, but...
Well, no, this was Western style.
What is Western style?
Well, instead of mozzarella cheese, it was American cheese.
And how nice.
And instead of tomato sauce, it was barbecue sauce.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure I must have mentioned that at least one point or another.
Probably. You know, I know in Kansas City, remember this because of the news reports they were having during the Republican convention they had out there a few years ago. They were talking about the food they had out there, and they said they didn't have pizza, they have tomato cookies. These big, huge, round things that are all red. And I'll have to go out there and try one of them. It was Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas City, Kansas, incidentally.
Well, most people think of Kansas City, Mo.
Yeah, which is kind of strange, actually.
Yeah, well, Kansas City, Kansas is just the other side of the river.
That is true.
I've been through both.
You have? How close are they, actually?
I don't really recall.
Wait, that's a good question, isn't it?
How close
is Kansas City, Missouri to Kansas City, Kansas?
We'll have to call up and find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are we going to call?
Okay, there's a question. Well, we're not going to do it now, but that might be one of the best questions of tonight.
Yeah. Well, no, we do have a couple of good ones.
Okay, well, we'll put this one up there, too.
It'll be on the bottom of the list.
For those of you out there, it's not too late to call us up with your questions because, hey, you know, there are a lot of things to find out there.
Yes.
And in here, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Like, what is the temperature in Stony Brook right now?
Temperature in Stony Brook is 21 degrees.
That's 69 Fahrenheit.
Well, it's actually 70 Fahrenheit, but there is no 69 Fahrenheit that converts to Celsius.
Well,
there's no Celsius temperature that converts to 69, so you can be right.
It's kind of breezy, so it's 69 and blowing.
Yeah. And what's the sky like out there?
Dark.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was cloudy before. You want me to? I can go look. Hold on.
Okay. I've been seeing things like the Milky
Way. Yeah, I'm just going over there now.
Oh, boy. How are you doing this? Oh, he's turning his volume up very loud. If you look outside, you might see the Milky Way. Then again... You might not. Mike has returned.
I'm back again.
Mike?
Yeah.
What did you see?
Clouds.
Clouds?
Nah, actually, yeah.
Really? No stars at all?
Stars, no stars. Especially
boogers.
The sun.
Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I like stars. It's so spacey.
They are. Are you going to watch the Perseids this month?
You know, I always miss those, either because it rains or because I forget.
Yeah, now, what is that? That's around the 11th of August, according to Joel Block.
Okay, I'm making it your personal responsibility to remind me.
I won't remember myself.
Well, write it down somewhere on your hand or watch or something like that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, because I don't want to miss it this time. It's really a lot of fun. I like looking at shooting stars.
Mm-hmm.
I like looking at regular stars.
You do?
Sure.
What is this we're listening to?
This is the soundtrack to Tron, appropriately enough.
Ooh.
Fantastic new motion picture. And you know, inside this album, this just fell out as I was taking the record out. I'm claiming this.
Was it a
coupon?
Free pass?
Yeah, a coupon for 2 free game tokens at any brand name we can't say, Family Entertainment Center.
Oh.
Yeah, I could play the game Tron. So, that should be fun.
Yeah, certainly.
Expires on September 30th, 1982.
So how was your week this week, anyway?
Well, let's see. What did I do this week? Anything? Oh, let me think. Oh, boy. I don't recall doing anything all that amazing.
I had some interesting experiences.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you go anywhere this week?
I went to a wedding on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. You were mentioning that last week. How did it go? Everything
quite
go off without
nicely,
a hitch?
Quite nicely. Well, no, they got hitched.
Oh.
Yeah. It would be kind of silly to have a wedding go without a hitch.
That's true.
Yeah, but this company, I work for an electronics company. We specialize in a certain type of circuits. And this guy who got married works for the main competition in the area. And so I had known him since high school. So he had me sitting at the table with a couple of folks from where he works, and we were just talking shop the whole time. It was kind of neat.
I see. Yeah. Get any valuable information from them, I hope?
Oh, yes, we traded secrets.
Ah.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was Saturday.
It paid off then a little bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Had a great time. They're such really sweet people, Tom and Susan. I know they're not listening because they're in Hawaii.
Oh.
Could you turn that down a little bit?
What, you?
Sure. Wrong.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, they're in Hawaii, are they?
Yeah.
Well.
So, yeah, everything's working out quite nicely, apparently, and this week was kind of rough in my life, too, because, what was it, Tuesday, for some reason, I was really dragging all day at work Tuesday, and Tuesday night, I couldn't get to sleep for some reason. Of course, on Wednesday morning, when I went to wake up, I couldn't wake up. So I was dragging, of course, all day Wednesday. So I figured, well, I'm so tired, I'm going to have to go to sleep really early, so about 8 o'clock.
Oh, my God, I can't do that.
Yeah, I know. Well, because you get up around 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, I like to get up when the sun's high, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But around 8 o'clock or so, I tried to go to sleep. But, oh, no, there had been this dog hanging around in the neighborhood the whole day, and it was just barking. It kept me up well past midnight. So here I am just laying in bed.
4 hours?
Just
a dog kept you up?
Yeah. So,
you have to learn how to deal with these things.
How? Flush down the toilet?
No, assimilate it into your mind.
Yeah.
Dog barking, make it like sheep jumping over. You know, I never could understand why sheep jumping over fences makes you fall asleep.
You're supposed to count them.
Well, we can count anything then. Count the number of barks. There you go. Why didn't you do that?
Yeah, well, anyway, what I did was I ended up...
And if he howls, count after five.
I ended up waking up and typing a few letters and stuff like that.
Yeah? Did you type a D?
I'm sure I must have.
That's good.
Yes.
It's good to be constructive like
that. So then, yesterday, let's see, that was Wednesday night. And so, of course, Thursday I was dragging. I had my show last night. Didn't get home until about 1 o'clock. Went to sleep about 1:15. I fell right asleep. Didn't wake up this morning until 20 minutes to 10.
What time are you doing to work?
7:30.
Uh-oh.
Well, that was kind of rough.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I normally get a phone call from somebody in my department who always misses me, you know, if I'm not there. But she was on vacation today.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Well, she usually calls up and says, "Mike, where the hell are you? You know, I'm asleep. Where the hell where do you expect me to be?"
Yeah, I can't understand when people call you up and they expect you to be somewhere and they say, "Where are you?" Well, it's obvious they called you. They know where you are. And the question is, why are you there?
That's right. That's
but
right.
Apparently they don't want to strain and say the extra word. And three words are better than four.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about your show yesterday. You mentioned that in passing, and it was kind of a funny moment here at USB.
You don't have to bring it up.
Yeah, I think I should. You called up WPKN Radio in Bridgeport.
Yeah, they're right across the puddle.
Yeah, they're right below us on the dial. And what you did was you called up the DJ who was on the air there.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, Tom Wheeler. Yeah.
You put him on the air, and he put you on the air. So the same thing was really going over two stations.
And then he took himself off the air here.
Well, for some technical reason.
I'll tell you exactly what happened, because, you see, we have these two. Well, like, if I was listening right now, I'm listening into the X switch. That means since I'm in a different studio, I have to listen into the X switch so I can hear everything that goes out over the air. But if I was listening in the P switch, I would just be hearing what's going through this board. See? Okay. And then the X is controlled by the tuner that you have in your room there. All right. You got that?
A radio we have in here.
Yeah,
yes.
A tuner. And so it's usually always set to 90.1 FM.
Except for last night when some chucklehead moved it to WPKN.
Because I wanted to hear what I sounded like coming through on the phone from WP.
So that's how you didn't know that your...
That he wasn't on the air here. That's
yes,
right.
The person you were talking to was not coming over the air at all on USB. He was coming over fine on PKN, and that's what you were listening to, so...
And I was listening to myself on PKN, and I was coming through pretty clear.
So I
had the benefit of the doubt. I was coming through on both radio stations, and he was only coming through on one.
Yeah, the effect on USB was pretty interesting, though. You heard Mike just talking to himself and saying, you know, yeah, I know, you know, how are things going? Uh-huh, yeah, sure. It was pretty funny, you know, just to listen to it. And finally, I broke in and said, hey, Mike,
well, you
enough
see,
of this.
It wasn't that way at the beginning. He was talking on the phone at the beginning, but then he put the phone down. So, you know, like they normally do their call-ins up there because they don't do a delay system up there. Or they hadn't, but they do now.
That's dangerous. You never know what's going to happen if you don't do a delay.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, it's 4 minutes to one, and hey, we're about ready to start on our quest. So our number, once again, 516-246-7901. All right, call us up. Any question you have, look, we'll do anything to find the answer. We really will, okay? There's nothing standing in our way. The slightest thing you wonder about on the other side of the world or down the block, hey, we'll find it out.
And who are we? What radio station is this?
We are WUSB.
Stony Brook!
Yeah, and this is the voice of Long Island, dedicated to serve you.
And your neighbors.
Yes, even if they're not listening. Uh-oh, stand back, Mike.
WUSB is the island, and the island is commercial-free. Keep your dial glued to 90.1 FM, commercial-free, all year long.
Say, we normally don't give you all this hype stuff on USB, but do tune in. You might like it. WUSB, Stony Brook.
Yeah.
This is music from the motion picture Tron. That's the only reason why we played it. Well, I don't know why we'd want to play that any other reason. Yes, we're still taking questions. We're having our question and answer session come up, in about 10 or 15 minutes or so. We're still waiting on some more questions. We've got some good ones so far, and some rough ones, and we'll see if we can get to them. 2467901 is the number with your for your questions, and, you know, just if you have any general comments or if you have any particular things you might want to hear, or any observations on the world in general.
She's a prisoner of stardom. She's unhappy with success, 'cause it isn't what she pictured it to be. Though she's made a lot of money and a lot of famous friends, there ain't nothing in this world can set her free. Who feels sorry for the center of attention? Who feels sorry for that poor little rich girl? Who feels sorry at the Amsterdam convention? Who feels sorry for the star? She's a prisoner of smiling. It's expected night and day. It's a burden on her everywhere she goes. Still, she's looking for some magic, like those teenage magazines that she read in 65 in Ohio. Who feels sorry for the center of attention? Who feels sorry for the poor little rich girl? Who feels sorry at the Amsterdam convention? Who feels sorry for the star? Of dreaming, and her dreams become her boss. Now it's packed her off to work among the Dutch. She'll see all the sights on Sunday. She'll be wined and dined at night. And let's pray to God she don't pretend too much. Who feels sorry for the center of attention? Who feels sorry for the poor little rich girl? Who feels sorry at the Amsterdam convention? Who feels sorry for the star? Thank you.
universe maker. Here's a song in your praise. Wings of the storm clouds, beginning and end. You make my heart beat like a banner in the wind. Oh, love that fires the sun, keep me burning. Oh, love that fires the sun, keep me burning.
Self-annoyance, 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 self-annoyance. We're half drinking, true them both.
Thank you. I dig that crazy ending.
Well,
who was that?
The Lamont Johnson Sextet. We heard a whole bunch of stuff in there. We heard something from,
Why don't you go get the record?
The late Bronze Age. We heard from...
Bronze Age died?
No, the late... Yeah, that's true, yes.
Oh.
Yes, and we heard something from Borelli LaGreene in there in the album called Roots to Django, as the... one of his big influences was Django Reinhardt. And, well, Borelli LaGreene was only 13 years old when that album was recorded. And the guy plays just like Django, or even better.
Gosh.
And we heard something from Bruce Coburn. We heard a new Jimmy Cliff. We heard the title cut from Special. And we heard something from Tron. You know that music was composed by Wendy Carlos?
Oh, no. Really?
The one that used to be Walter Carlos.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's the first work we've gotten by him, her, since that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Wendy Carlos. Okay.
Yeah.
Here on USB, we're the voice of Long Island, and
we've got some questions to answer.
Yeah, we've picked out at least one question. Mike, what is that question?
Well, the question was, I think it was coming from Central Islip, was, how many pounds in a metric ton?
That is a toughie. How many pounds in a metric ton? You see, up until today, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a metric ton. Did you?
No, I didn't. I always thought that there was just one ton. You know, a regular old ton.
Yeah, weighs a ton, huh?
Yeah, which is 2,000 pounds, right? Because everybody knows that from the inside of their marble compositions books.
Well,
with the tables of charts and of weights and measures and that sort of thing.
Do we have a dictionary in the newsroom?
I'll look.
Okay, because I'd like to find out just what a ton is equal to. Now, that's not cheating.
That's 2,000 pounds.
Exactly?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. It seems like there's always a little bit of loose change in this here English system we have. 12 inches to a foot, 16
ounces to a pound, that kind of thing. It's never even. Doesn't seem to be anyway. So if we find out how many...
No.
What's what?
No, oh, it's not 16 ounces to a pound. It's 16 ounces to a pint.
Then how many pounds is there in a pound? Are you trying to drive me crazy?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing it too, right?
Now, wait a minute. How many ounces are in a pint?
16.
Well, that's a coincidence. I wonder who thought of that. Okay, you looking it up?
I'm looking it up.
You should look it up. The weights. You put it up into Topeka. Wow, how about that?
Topeka, the capital of Kansas. Population 119,000.
And host of...
Don.
Yeah.
Ton.
Ton.
U.S. customary system unit of weight equal to 2,240 pounds.
See, what did I tell you? There's always loose change.
That's a long ton. V, a U.S. customary system unit of weight equal to 2,000 pounds. Short ton, net ton.
What?
Yeah, that's what a short ton is.
What in the world does
or
that mean?
Or a net ton. As opposed to a long ton, which is 2,240 pounds.
Well, how could you have two different tons in the same system?
Well, one's a short one, one's the long one.
What does that mean, a short one and a long one?
Well, I don't know that. But it doesn't say anything about here.
I mean, is there a short pound and a long pound? Is there a short pint and a long pint?
Is there a short foot and a long foot?
Well, that I won't comment on, but...
Now, loosely, a very large quantity of anything.
that's very good.
Yeah. It says here.
That really doesn't... Well, I mean, that first one might be a metric ton, you know.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
And what is that?
That is to call the... Bureau of Standards. The National Bureau... National Bureau of Standards.
Uh-huh.
You can't use that line, can you?
Why don't
we dial information to find out what it is?
In D.C.?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has to do it the hard way, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Such is life. It's going to take 6 years to get a connection on this line. So we have a couple of lines here. This is the outmoded line.
Washington, D.C. is very far away, Mike.
Yeah, it takes a while.
We should at least make it sound that way.
Yeah.
Hello?
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 Yes, we need the number of the National Bureau of Standards.
Here we go. Busy, busy, busy. Bum, 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 bum.
Dialing.
921-1000.
Did you say 921-1000?
Did you say that?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Should we call that number?
Sure.
What was it again?
921-1000.
All right.
Code 202. Dialing for bureaus. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Dialing for bureaus. Thanks to our listener out in Central Islip. Hope this is a louder connection.
I hope they're open. Hello.
Bum, 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 bum.
What's going on down there? Sounds like a train.
Yeah, it does.
Something happened. You want to try that again?
You want to try it again?
Yeah, I think I should.
In case you just tuned in, you're listening to the voice of Long Island on radio station WUSB Stony Brook. I'm Mike Uhas, and down on the phone right next to me here is Eric Corley. We're trying to get through the National Bureau of Standards to find out how much does a metric ton weigh.
Trying it again.
Dialing for density.
Oh, sounds better.
A little bit better.
It's going to ring. I know it.
That's what we got last time.
It seems to be stopping in the same place. Well, maybe it's just taking a little while.
Maybe it's a very weak connection.
I'm going to try this one more time in this line, then I'm going to go to the
blue line.
Well, who knows? We might have to just go to the blue line. Anyway, we take your listeners' questions every week, and we try to answer them as best we can. Did you dial the right number there? Did you dial the whole thing?
Did I?
I don't know. It didn't look like it.
I think I did. It'll be interesting who we get, anyway.
Probably wake somebody up.
No, we'd never do that. Ah, this sounds better.
Yeah. Probably get a recording. Doo-doo-doo.
Not getting anything now.
Huh. You want to try the blue line?
Let's give it a few more seconds.
Who's cough drops to these, anyway?
Now, if they don't find out from these people, who else would know how much a metric ton weighs? Obviously a country that's converted to the metric system.
Like England.
Or Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, blue line.
Blue line, time for the blue line. Well, dialing for different units of measure. Right now in Stony Brook, it's 21 degrees. That's 70 Fahrenheit. Skies are cloudy.
Here we go. I need to see some action.
Yes, it's ringing.
Nice, healthy ring.
Good morning, Bureau Standards.
Yes, good morning. We're wondering, basically, if we can get some information as to how much a metric ton weighs.
Oh, you'll have to call in the morning. You have to call Monday morning. I don't believe there's anybody going to be working tomorrow. This is simply security right now.
Oh, boy. You see, this is kind of an emergency. Do you know anybody who might know at this time of night?
No, sir.
No one at all, huh?
No, there's no one on the base hardly at all.
The city's sleeping. Okay, well, thanks anyway.
I'm terribly sorry, sir.
Well, you don't have any reference books or anything really close by, handy?
Only by name, if you have a name.
No, I don't. I just was wondering, maybe in some big compendium or something like that.
No.
All right, well, thank you anyway.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, we tried.
We tried one thing, yes.
That means you have another plan of attack?
Well, if there was such a bureau in Washington, does it not stand to reason that there was one in another capital city?
Like?
Ottawa.
Uh-huh. Is that the capital of Canada?
Yes, it is. Now, I don't know what the area code for Ottawa is. Let's find that out first.
We have to dial O.
Yes. Why did you do that?
I don't know. I'm holding this button down. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
You want to talk?
Yes.
Good morning, Miss Faith. May I help you?
Yeah, hi. I'd like to know the area code for Ottawa, Canada.
Hello.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What province is that in?
I'm not really sure, actually.
Good job. 613.
613.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, let's give that a try.
So, we're going to try dialing Ottawa, Canada, just for you on The Voice of Long Island. Bum, 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 bum. Mm-hmm.
We can do the talking on this one.
Okay. Information calls.
For what city?
Could we try Ottawa?
Ottawa, yes.
We need to know the number of, I guess, the National Bureau of Standards, if there is such a thing, or something quite similar to it.
What do you mean by standards?
Well, weights and measures, we need to know, that kind of thing. Threw her for a loop, I think.
Yeah, I hope it's not an endless loop.
Yeah. Can you imagine an operator in dub?
Well, we do have a number for weights and measure under Government of Canada.
You do? Okay, could you give me that number?
996-5724.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Same to you. All right, well, I'll dial that number straight away.
Yeah, okay. There probably won't be anybody there.
614?
613.
Oh, jeez. Who I would have gotten if I did that?
You probably would have gotten a doo-doo-doo, the number you have reached.
Something like that.
Yeah. So we're going to truly go international in scope tonight. We're trying Canada, our neighbors.
What number is that last number?
That's a 4 there.
Okay.
What's the matter? You can't read my chicken scratching?
Okay, here we go. Ottawa, Canada.
It is ringing.
That it is. Dum-da-dum-dum-dum. I just want to say the folks in the United States answered after the first ring.
Well, that was only security. Maybe they don't have security there.
There's no security in Canada, is that what you're saying?
Not at Weights and Measures.
This is really this is probably the hardest thing to find out this time of night.
Hmm. Well, how about if we look around for it this week and come back with the answer next
no,
week?
No. The deal is we do it now. We have to find out now. We promised our listeners we get the answer. We will get the answer.
We do have the tripod family coming up.
Yes, they are coming up. They're waiting.
5 or 10 minutes. There's nobody there.
It doesn't appear that way. Now, we could try something else. Let's talk about this a little bit.
Like in Albany?
Now, I doubt if they'd be open. I really do.
Yeah.
What other area could we try? Is there maybe a Weights and Measures hotline for emergencies like this?
Well, there's one way to find out.
Who would know about Weights and Measures? Who is in the business of Weights and Measures? Who deals with it?
Some scale company or something like that.
A scale company?
Like Toledo Scales, not to mention a brand name.
Hmm. How about our news association that we called last week? Do you think maybe they might help us this time?
No, I wouldn't want to pester them.
Well, let's try a different one.
We don't subscribe to any other ones.
Well, they don't know that.
Yeah, they do. They ask us. We can't lie.
We can make an honest mistake. All right. Let's give up on Ottawa. We could call an all-news station somewhere.
No, they wouldn't know.
They know everything.
Yeah, but they don't want
to
be
pestered. It's really insulting to say that.
Yeah, but they don't want to be pestered about it, though, you know?
How do you know? You don't know who works down there. You don't know what the people are like. They might be just sitting around waiting for something to happen. Sort of like what we are.
Well, let's see. I think I had another idea.
Where do you go for information?
Well, we should go to a place that would measure a metric ton.
Okay.
Like the Department of Transportation. They set up scales.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Where do people measure things? When you're going over borders, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we went over the border from the United States to Canada, they weighed all sorts of weird things. And they would know if anyone... Oh, you know who would know? Yeah. Airlines. Wouldn't they know? Because they have to deal with that kind of thing.
Let's call up a cargo. Okay.
A cargo airline.
Okay,
here we go.
Great, okay. Okay, now let's call up 800 information because it's free.
Ah, okay.
We'll try, let's see. Okay. And we'll try an overseas airline, such as Lufthansa.
I keep trying till you get one.
Oh, okay.
Don't let those nasty operators hang up on you. They do that sometimes. Especially with that crazy ring.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Yugoslavian ring.
I've never dialed Yugoslavia, have you?
Check that, Romanian.
Ah, yes, it does. Now that you mention it. Hello, Romania here. What number would you like?
Are you there? Hello.
We called him Barrick last week.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. We can't call him again.
Come on, information. Hey.
No, it's Directory of Systems. There's a difference.
Oh.
We could ask them if they were information.
What's wrong here? Should I try them again?
Yeah.
Boy.
Oh, boy. You know, we are running out of time. We do have the tripods ready to come up shortly. As you hear in the voice of Long Island every Friday night, Saturday morning, sometime between 1:30 and
too.
Same ring.
We're probably stuck back on the back of the waiting line again. Ours was probably just going to be answered when you hung up before, but oh no, we got to wait another 5 minutes.
90 operators there, they always answer right away.
How do you know it's 90?
Well, it seems that way. Never gotten the same one twice.
Huh.
It's because they never pick up.
Yeah, that might have something to do with it.
This is very entertaining.
Yeah, where else could you hear a phone ring but on the voice
of Long Island? 800 operators are located in Chester, Pennsylvania, for your information.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
See, I was born in that area.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Many a moon ago. Why don't we call the regular operator and tell her we can't get through to the 800 operator?
I got a better idea. I'm going to try this on the white line.
Uh-oh.
This works better on the white line.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, that's the red line. You can't use that for...
Oh, no, I changed it.
Oh, I see. I see. I see what you did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, it's still 21 degrees Celsius, 70 Fahrenheit.
This will sound better.
Oh, no.
Same ring. Sounds farther away now.
What is this, what they call a tie line or something?
Yeah, sort of like that.
Ah.
Well, you know, it's really pointless to subject our listeners to this incompetency within the Bell system. Should I say Bell or just the phone company?
I don't know.
Ah, the phone company. So, why don't we go to the tripods? And...
No, we have one other question that we can answer, I think.
We will answer this, though, but... We'll get through other things.
How about if we get back to this question later?
Okay, we'll do that then.
All right, now, wasn't there another question that you got before?
All right, why don't we answer the other question?
What was the question?
Let's see if I can remember. Oh, yes, what town was Bob Marley born in?
What town was Bob Marley born in? You know, can you excuse me for a minute? We have a book in the back.
We have a book?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you go get the book then? Yeah.
Okay. I'll go get the book.
Go, hurry up. We're running out of time. It doesn't usually take this long to find out answers to questions, but when you're dealing with people who don't answer their phones, who are supposed to, all sorts of unexpected things happen. But we will find out the answer for you. We promised we would, and we're on until 3 o'clock. We'll do that. We've got tripods coming up in a couple of minutes, the news at 1:55, and our album side, maybe a little bit delayed, scheduled for 2 o'clock in the morning. But we will find out what a metric ton is equivalent to. Mike, you have something on Bob Marley?
Well, I also brought a Bob Marley record.
Hey, how about that? Good.
Why don't you cue up...
Okay.
Oh. Hey, is that it? Yeah.
Yeah,
why don't you cue up this song here?
Okay.
The second song, yeah. Okay, here's a book we have, Bob Marley, Soul Rebel, Natural Mystic. And it was came out on... what was the publisher? St. Martin's Press, about a year ago, just after his death. Let's see. Now, I guess he was born on the 6th of February, 1945. Now, let's see, does it say where? Okay.
What do we got?
St. Anne's, a market town.
He was born in St. Anne's?
Yeah, and I guess that would be in Jamaica, no?
St. Anne's, February 6, 1945?
That's right. Grew up in the country, riding donkeys, milking cows and goats, swimming in the streams and sea.
Okay, so we found that out pretty fast. St. Anne's, Jamaica is where Bob Marley was born.
Yeah.
1945.
And he died... What was it, about a year ago? Just a little over a year ago.
Yeah, I believe it was in Florida he died.
May 11th, 1981.
And we have a Bob Marley song. We will be getting to the tripods, the news, the album side, and finally the answer to our question. So stay with us
on The Voice
of Long Island.
Bob Marley, and, something from an album called Natty Dread, and No Woman, No Cry. Now, Eric, if that is done, you will flash one of those telephone lines. Bum, 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 bum. I guess it's not done yet. Well, we're still waiting on the Tripod family. They should be walking in the door any moment now. You there, Eric? No, he's not there. 2467901 is the number here on The Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Uhas, and Eric Corley is in the other room, and he's getting the tripods together, and I think they're ready. I think they are ready. So, without any further ado, the ridiculous, stupendous, and you know all the rest.
Radio Free Long Island.
In co-presentation with the Brentwood Disposable Tire Iron Facility, proudly presents another adventure of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Today we look in on the Tripods at their home in Stony Haven as Aunt Angela walks up the driveway. As we look in, we see Charlie still thinks he's in the 21st century.
Now, I know I won't have to remind you, Kathy, but please try to behave yourself while my Aunt Angela is here.
Oh, you don't have to worry about me, Howard. But I think you'd better keep an eye on Charlie. He seems rather strange.
I'm sorry if I spoiled the game by talking about it, folks. I won't do it again, I promise.
He seems to have slipped his lid a little bit.
He can count on me. In fact, I'll be able to play the game so well because I actually lived in the 20th century. That won't even seem like a game to me.
Howard, I'm worried about him.
All right, Kathy, we'll just have to deal with that later on. Now, my Aunt Angela is coming up the driveway right now, and it would really be nice if we could just act a little normal for a change.
But what in the world is that supposed to mean?
Every time Aunt Angela comes out here, she goes back to Blue Ball, Pennsylvania, and tells all of our relatives in that part of the country about the weird things that go on in our house. And I'm getting just a little bit tired of it.
Weird things? I'd like to know just what those weird things are.
I don't want to go into it, Kathy.
No. I really want to know. What's weird about this family? Please tell me.
Kathy, you mean you don't see how nearly all of the things that the Tripods do seem kind of strange, out of the ordinary?
Like what?
Oh, come on, Kathy. We don't have the time.
Give me an example, Howard.
If I start, I won't be able to stop. And Aunt Angela is nearly at the door.
Just one example. Come on.
All right, Kathy. Would any other family have moved clear across the country to Stony Haven just to avoid a family scandal that we've never even talked about?
Sure. Well, why not? You're behind the times, Howard. When's the last time you watched Dallas?
All right. Let me try another one. Okay. What about Pop? Okay, who ever heard of a man in his 70s suddenly enlisting in the armed forces?
Oh, Howard, lots of people do that, especially today, with all of that rising patriotism.
Oh, okay, well, how about our vacation? Did you ever know anyone who got lost in the sewers of Nice before? Wait till that gets around the family.
Well, that's not strange either.
All right, how about this election campaign we've gotten involved in with Victor?
Nope, I can't buy that. It's not strange.
How about your gallivanting around with Stanley Steinstein? What in the world was that?
I don't know. It reminds me of
something. That's a pretty neat trick, folks. So I could never have done that back in the 20th century.
Ooh, that must be the door.
I'll get it. Now, remember what I said, Kathy. And you too, Charlie. Aunt Angela! Oh, it's so good to see you again. Here, I'll take your bags. Come on in.
Welcome to Stony Haven, Aunt Angela. We were just going to sit out back. You're welcome to join us if you want.
I don't know this person.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Charlie, our next-door neighbor who just got back from the hospital. Charlie, this is Aunt Angela. Howard's Aunt Angela.
It's a real pleasure to meet you, ma'am. You certainly don't look like you're from the 21st century.
Charlie!
That's enough, Charlie. This is really going too far. I'm sorry, Aunt Angela. I think they might have left Charlie out in the sun a little too long. Why don't we just go out back now? Is that okay with you?
Well, what's she writing, Howard?
I don't know, Kathy.
She hasn't said a word since she's walked in, you know.
I know that, Kathy. I'm as much in the dark as you.
She's handing you her pad, Howard.
Oh, thank you. Let's see what this says.
Do you need any help?
I think this is kind of hard to read. Can you make out that first word? I never saw anything like that before.
It looks like it's
I think that's a P starting it off.
That looks like an L afterwards.
Please.
Oh, okay. Please what?
Excuse.
That's excuse. Please excuse.
Okay, it's a verb. Please excuse. Well, it should be me, probably.
Is that me?
Please excuse me is a sentence, then, because that's a period. I know what a period looks like. Unless they've changed it in the last century.
I.
Is that the next line?
Yeah, that's an I.
I hate
No, that's a V.
I hate laryngitis.
I hate laryngitis.
I have
laryngitis.
You do?
No, that's what it says.
Oh. I have laryngitis.
Oh, she has. And Angela has laryngitis.
Oh, look, she's nodding vigorously, so I guess that means she does.
Yes.
Aunt Angela has laryngitis.
There's
my goodness.
One more
sentence here. Let's see. What does that say?
Where is your
bathroom?
Bathroom!
Where is your bathroom? Please excuse me, I have laryngitis. Where is your bathroom? And so Aunt Angela finally arrives with laryngitis. What will it all mean? You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Howard say...
I'm sorry, our bathroom's broken.
That's next time on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a co-presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Brentwood Disposable Tire Iron Facility. For Radio Free Long Island, this is Don Topeka.
Exactly, heaven me above. Ruben.
Something new from Joe Cocker, his new album called Sheffield Steel, Ruby Lee. Yes. Now, what do you have there? You got the dictionary.
I've got the dictionary. I'm just looking up something at the suggestion of one of our listeners. Now,
what was the suggestion?
Well, actually, he gave us kind of a hint, said what a metric ton was equal to. Now, I'm just going to look it up. Metric ton.
Well, you probably won't
metric
find
metric ton, a unit of mass equal to 1,000 kilograms.
Aha.
Okay, now, with that knowledge in mind...
How many pounds in a kilogram?
How many pounds in a kilogram?
It's about 2.2, right?
No, not about. We have to find out exactly what it is. Now, weights and measures, they should have a metric system conversion table. Most dictionaries do.
They do. Well, this is a pocket dictionary. What do you expect? And you could probably fit it in a large pocket.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me look this up. Table. Doesn't every dictionary have tables at the beginning?
Or at the end.
Oh, at the end. Okay.
At this point, I should mention it's about 5 minutes past two. The news will be coming up momentarily. And this is the Voice of Long Island on WUSB.
Stony Brook.
And I'm Mike Uhas, and...
This is Eric Corley over here. I don't see a... Okay, we have to find out the conversion of grams to pounds and all that kind of thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So how are we going to do that?
How are we going to do that?
So we have to have the exact...
Well, can we accept what the listener told us?
We can accept it in our minds, but we really have to have something in front of us.
Well, let's do it
from an official person.
Let's do it as a preliminary kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we can confirm it later.
2.204... Wait, I wrote it down. 2.2046 pounds per kilogram. Okay, so we get the old calculator out.
Okay. All right.
And now what did we say? 2.2046 times,
okay.
Which that's this one here, right?
Yeah.
Times 1,000 equals 2,204.6 pounds in a kilogram.
Okay, and a ton is 1,000 kilograms, so...
A metric ton.
So you have to multiply that by 1,000, don't you?
No, I just did that.
Oh.
Yes. See?
I see. Okay.
I think this is the first time anybody ever used this calculator on the air. It's a printing calculator. A little...
All right, at least if I have this straight. 2.2046 means what?
That's how many pounds there are... How many liters there are in 1 pound?
Liters?
No, meters. advance my paper.
Okay.
No, that's... Let's see. This 2.2046.
Six. What does that mean?
That means this. That's that many. What is it now? It's. What are you doing to me tonight, anyway? That's.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're just taking numbers and you're multiplying them. They don't mean anything, though.
Now, that's how many pounds there are in
kilogram. Wait, there are 2.2046 pounds in a kilogram?
No, I got it wrong. There's 2.2046 kilograms in a pound. Or am I wrong again? No, I think I was right the first time.
We need a table. Why don't we do the news and the... And the album slide and all that.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll go in the other studio.
I got a better idea. Why don't you read the news, and I, in the meantime, will find something, okay?
Okay.
And that way we won't start laughing in the middle of our newscast.
This is going to sound kind of terrible, me pulling up the chair here, but...
Don't knock it to the floor.
I'll try not to knock it to the floor. Well, it's about 8 minutes past two. President Reagan reassured a number of congressional Republicans Friday that there won't be any changes in policies toward Taiwan. He told them the U.S. will continue to supply weapons to the island nation, despite protests from mainland China. The Pentagon says Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger will steer clear of any dealings with his former employer, Bechtel Corporation, and the Air Force Friday awarded Bechtel, a subsidiary of Bechtel, a multi-million-dollar contract as part of the MX missile program. The Coast Guard says there are an unknown number of survivors from a plane crash at the western end of the Aleutian Islands. The four-propeller Coast Guard plane was located late Friday night at about 1,700 miles from Anchorage, Alaska.
The California State Labor Department issued $5,000 citations against Warner Brothers and three individuals on Friday for violating child labor laws. The action was taken as a result of last week's helicopter crash that killed actor Vic Morrow and two children. And a team of six divers led by a Vernon, Connecticut man will venture out into Long Island Sound later on today in an effort to find the wreck of the Karen E., the pleasure boat that sank on August 9th last year. Five West Hartford, Connecticut residents died in the sinking. The boat has never been found, despite diving expeditions last summer and the use of sophisticated sonar equipment by the U.S. Coast Guard. The search is being led by 58-year-old Lee Prettyman of Vernon, a veteran diver, who believes the search will be successful. Prettyman says the other search efforts will be for all west of the site where he believes the Karen E. wreck is located. He says the precise location of the dive today will be determined by following the tides and currents with buoys. Lee Prettyman, a former aquatic director of the Greater Hartford YMCA, and five other divers taking part in the effort are all doing so on a volunteer basis. Prettyman is an acquaintance of Richard Lublin of West Hartford, the skipper of the Karen E., who was the only person aboard to survive the sinking. Lublin managed to swim across the Long Island Sound from off Old Saybrook, where the boat went down, to the shore at Orient, Long Island. The Karen E. sunk after being struck by a cement barge. He lost all of his worldly people there. Eric, are you in the other studio there now? No, I guess not. So I guess we should read the USB Long Island weather for tonight. Cloudy with a chance of showers after midnight. You know what that means. Lows in the 60s. Winds becoming variable, less than 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow, that's later today, actually, variable cloudiness and humid with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs 75 to 80. Look out for Sunday. Partly cloudy and seasonably warm. Right now, there's no warnings or advisories in effect for Long Island waters. And right now in Stony Brook, it is 21 degrees Celsius, 70 Fahrenheit. And it's about 11 minutes past 2. Oh, you found a real dictionary.
I went running all the way across the building, Mike.
Yeah.
What a sight I was.
I'll bet you were.
I found a dictionary, though. The Webster's 7th New Collegiate Dictionary.
We have a kilogram right there. Kilogram, the abbreviation for kilogram is kg.
Yes.
And it's 1,000 grams.
1,000 grams, right.
And 2.2046 pounds.
Right, okay.
So let's do that calculation again.
So it's pretty easy, times 1,000 pounds. So 1,000, it says what we should do is take this and multiply it by a million.
Wait, it's a metric ton.
Right. We should take it and
multiply. Approximately 1.1 U.S. tons.
That's right.
So that's 1.1 tons equal to? Let's figure it out that way.
Does it say short ton or net ton or long ton?
Goodness gracious.
No, they're thinking of... So, no, that's not accurate enough for us, though.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Okay, we need a million times 2.2046, right?
Okay.
2.2046 times 1,000,000, right? You think this will work?
Wait, how many O's do you have there?
A million's worth, but that's too many. Because that's not right.
What was that number? You might as well share it with us.
That's 2,200,000,000.
Wait, what was that number again?
It's not right.
What was the number? Come on, let's hear the number.
It's wrong. No.
2,204,000.
Oh, no wonder. I was, that's how many grams there are. Okay, so now I was going by...
You forgot how many grams are in there.
Right, and now we have to... Oh, geez, this is simple. Well, I had it right the first time.
But you didn't know what you were talking about, right?
Well, I did know what I was talking about.
You couldn't explain it.
Well, who said I could explain it? It's 2.2046, right?
Okay, what does that number mean,
2.2046? That's how many kilos there are, how many pounds there are in a kilo.
Okay.
Okay, times 1,000.
Okay.
Okay.
You get the number of pounds in a
metric ton, because 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000.
Right.
Okay, so do that.
Times 1,000. Oops.
Oh, no. Not 10,000, 1,000.
That's right. And that's the same number I had before.
2,204.6.
That's what we had before, see? Right here.
All right, now, I was taught in sixth grade math that when you do something, you should always check it.
Oh, we have to check it.
Yes, we do.
We have to divide.
No, let's take the 1.1 tons that a metric ton is equal to.
Okay.
And figure it out.
1.1 times 2,000. Right? Is this the ridiculous thing you want? See, it comes out to be about 2,200 pounds.
Why 1.1 times 1,000? Oh, I don't understand what we just did there. Could you explain that?
No.
This is educational radio. We're supposed to be learning something.
That's true, too.
1.1 tons, how did you get that number?
It says right there. How many metric ton? 1.1 tons, approximate U.S. equivalent.
All right, so what mathematical equation did you use? These math people can never explain themselves. That's
okay,
the problem.
Look, 2,000 pounds is a ton, right? One U.S. ton.
Exactly 2,000 pounds.
Exactly. That's the short pound, okay. A short ton, or
okay.
A net ton.
Okay.
Okay, we took that and we multiplied it by this number here, 1.1
oh,
tons,
okay.
In a metric ton, and we got 2,200, which is quite close. You're only talking about 4.6 pounds.
That's quite a bit, actually. That's quite a difference. This is not very accurate.
Yeah. Well, it's close enough, right?
Can you just do one more thing for me?
What it is.
Divide this time. 2,204.6. Divide that by 1,000.
Divided by 1,000.
No, wait, I'm sorry. Divide it by 2,000 and see what you get.
Divided by 2,000?
Yeah. That way you'll know for sure how many tons a metric ton is equal to.
I think we got an E.
You got an error in the calculator.
Okay. 2,204.6. Divided by 2,000?
Yeah.
That's an American, a short ton or a long ton.
Yep.
I mean, a short ton or a net ton.
So what the dictionary should have said was that a metric ton is equal to 1.1023 U.S. tons.
That's right. Didn't say approximate U.S. equivalent, that's what it should have said.
Right. Well, we do want definite numbers. I would hope so, anyway.
Do you realize we're arguing about 4 pounds... At 2:17 in the morning.
Well, our 2 o'clock album side is usually over. It hasn't even begun yet.
That's true. Now, what is this?
Well, I wanted to play something by Gilbert and Sullivan. We haven't done it for quite a while, you know.
I don't think we ever have.
Oh yes, I don't think you were here when we.
Oh yes. I think I was running away or something like that, which I'm going to have to do early tonight anyway, because I'm going to work tomorrow, you know.
Well, you're crazy.
Yeah, I know it.
This is a Gilbert and Sullivan opera called The Gondoliers, Cox and Box.
Yes, what it says, with complete dialogue. The Dalali Cart Opera Company.
Yeah, they come in with a cart, you know, they roll in, they unload everything, they roll away. Okay, we have a lot of records in here, so I'm going to just pick one.
Which one?
Well, I don't know, you're going to have to do that. We have three records, just a regular family list in here. Okay. Pick a number between 1 and 6.
That.
4. You're going to listen to side 4. Okay, no problem. Side 4 of The Gondoliers, Act 2, Part 1. Now, let me explain the story. Of happiness, the very pith. Rising early in the morning. Take a pair of sparkling eyes. Here we are. Dance a cachucha.
Cachucha.
There lived a king in a contemplative fashion.
What are you reading?
I'm reading down over there. I don't know if that's the name of the songs I just read, because it doesn't make any sense. It's hanging along by itself.
Story so far.
Okay, soloist, we have Thomas Round, Alan Styler, George Cook, Michael Wareham. Don't laugh at their names. Mary Sansom, Joyce Wright, Kenneth Sandford with the Doyle Cart Opera Chorus.
Yes, recorded under the direction of Bridget Doyle Cart.
Oily Cart, oh my goodness. New Symphony Orchestra of London, conducted by Isidore Godfrey. and it's made in England.
And remember, this record must be played only on equipment which includes a turntable revolving at 33 1/3 RPM constant speed. The playing weight of the reproducing head should be related to the radius of the stylus and the tip mass of the pickup. To prevent undue record wear, we recommend the pickup manufacturer's playing weight be maintained. The sapphire or diamond stylus having a tip radius of 0.005 inch to 0.001 inch. That's 5/10,000ths.
Okay, all right, enough measurements.
To 1 mil. Sapphire should be examined for wear after every approximate 100 playings. Avoid dropping the pickup on the record or the motor board. A worn or chipped stylus may damage your records permanently and will certainly impair the quality of their reproduction.
Does it say anything about not leaving the man in the sun?
Yes.
Where?
Store in an even, moderate temperature.
Okay. That's a really horrible thing to do.
Keep away from dust and heat.
Okay.
Handle with great hair. Care. Oh, the strange things that you read in liner notes.
Now, while we're playing this Gilbert and Sullivan, we can't play the whole thing. We'd like to play the whole thing, but it would take many hours if we did.
Yes.
So we're just going to play this side four. While the record is playing, if you're not one for opera or if you can do two things at once, you can give us a call at 246-7901. Okay, 246-7901, and... tell us what you want to hear next week. Any interesting questions you want to have answered, we'll do it. Comments, criticisms?
No, we won't take criticism.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Oh, what the heck.
We'll take
anything at this point.
Yeah, but we'll throw it back at you.
Yeah. 20 minutes after 2.
We'll compliment your breath. So this is The Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Yuhas. I might not be here for much longer, but Eric Corley certainly will.
Oh, no, I won't.
Well, I'm going to sneak out of here. I don't care what you have
to say.
All
the doors are barricaded, Mike. You can't leave.
Oh, okay.
Which of us two is the actual king? We are to act as one person.
Exactly.
Now, although we act as one person, we are in point of fact two persons.
Ah, I don't think we can go into that. It is a legal fiction, and legal fictions are solemn things. Situated as we are, we can't recognize two independent responsibilities.
No, but you can recognize two independent appetites. It's all very well to say we act as one person. But when you supply us with only one ration between us, I should describe it as a legal fiction carried a little too far.
It's rather a nice point. I don't like to express an opinion offhand. Suppose we reserve it for argument before the full court.
Yes, but what are we to do in the meantime?
We want our tea! I think we may make an interim order for double rations on their majesties entering into the usual undertaking to indemnify in the event of an adverse decision.
That, I think, will meet the case. But you must work hard. Stick to it. Nothing like work.
No, certainly. We quite understand that a man who holds the magnificent position of king should do something to justify it. We are called Your Majesty. We're allowed to buy ourselves magnificent clothes. Our subjects frequently nod to us in the streets. The sentries always return our salutes. And we enjoy the inestimable privilege of heading the subscription lists to all the principal charities. In return for these advantages, the least we can do is to make ourselves useful about the palace.
Rising early in the morning, we proceed to light the fire. Then our majesty adorning in his work a day attire, we embark without delay on the duties of the day. First we polish up some batches of political dispatches and common politicians circumvent. Then if business isn't heavy, we may hold a royal levy or ratify some acts of parliament. Then we probably review the House of Trumps with the usual sharp hoofs, For the secret ceremonial and state, and interesting Eastern potentate. After that, we generally go and dress a private valley. It's a rather nervous duty, he's a touchy little man. Write some letters into Mary for our private secretary. He's shaking his spelling, so we help if we can. Then if you are craving dinner, we go down and order dinner. Then we polish the regalia and the coronation plate. Spend an hour in city dating, or a gentleman in waiting, or we've run a little errands for the ministers of the state. Oh, philosophers may sing of the troubles of a king, that the duties are delightful and the privilege is great. But the privilege and pleasure, that big pleasure beyond measure, is to run a little errands for the ministers of state.
Oh, philosophers may sing of the troubles of a king, that the duties are delightful and the privilege is great. But the privilege and pleasure, that big pleasure beyond measure, is to run a little errands for the ministers of state.
After lunch and making merry on a bottle glass of sherry, if we've nothing in particular to do, we may make a proclamation or receive a deputation, then we possibly create a pill or two. Then we help a fellow creature on his path with the guards upon the thistle or the bar. Or we dress and toddle off in semi-state to a festival, a function, or a fete. Then we go and stand at sentry at the palace, private entry, marching tailor, marching tailor up and down at front row. For the warrior on duty gives a search of fear and beauty, and it generally happens that he hasn't far to go. He releases if he's able, just in time to lay the table. Then we dine and serve the coffee, and at 12:30. With a pleasure that's emphatic, we retire to our attic with the gratifying feeling that our duty has been done. Oh, philosophers may sing of the troubles of a king, for the pleasures there are many and of worries there are none. And the culminating pleasure, every treasure beyond measure, is the gratifying feeling that our duty has been done.
Oh, philosophers may sing of the troubles of a king, for the pleasures there are many and of worries there are none. And the culminating pleasure, every treasure beyond measure, is the gratifying feeling that our duty has been done.
Very pleasant existence. They're all so singularly kind and considerate. You don't find them wanting to do this or wanting to do that, or saying it's my turn now. No, they let us have all the fun to ourselves and never seem to grudge it.
It makes one feel quite selfish. It almost seems like taking advantage of their good nature.
How nice they were about the double rations.
Most considerate. There's only one thing wanting to make us thoroughly comfortable.
And that is?
The dear little wives we left behind us 3 months ago.
Yes, it is dull, that female society. We can do without everything else, but we can't do without that.
And if we have that imperfection, we have everything. There is only one recipe for perfect happiness. Make a pair of sparkling eyes, it will never and anon in a merciful eclipse. Do not eat a my surprise, having cast the Rubicon, take a pair of rosy lips. Take a figure trimly planned, such as admiration wets. Be particular in this. Take a tender little hand, fit with dainty finger threads. Dress it, dress it, in parentheses.
Thank you. find the change we'd like, and that's how we be remaining. We've not seen you both for ages. Tell me, are you fond of raining? How the world was the waiting? Does your new employment meet you? Oh, destroy a life in strife you? Is it difficult or easy? Do you think your subjects like you? I am anxious to elicit it. Is it plain and is it feeling? Think it all together. Is it better fun than not an ill? We shall find so what it will be to do. Tell us, never doubt it. Everything is in charity. Tell us all about it.
Never mind that. The question is, how shall we celebrate the commencement of our honeymoon? Gentlemen, will you allow us to offer you a magnificent banquet?
We will.
Thanks very much. And ladies, what do you say to a dance?
A banquet and a dance? Oh, it's too much happiness.
I saw a groom dancing and a footman.
Yes, that's the Lord High Footman.
Oh, dear me, a common little drummer boy. Oh, no, that's the Lord High Drummer Boy. But surely the servants' hall is the place for these gentry. Oh, dear, no. We have appropriated the servants' hall. It's the royal apartment, and accessible only by tickets. Obtain them at the Lord Chamberlain's office.
We really must have some place that we can call our own.
I'm afraid I'm not quite equal to the intellectual pressure of the conversation.
You see, the monarchy has been remodeled on republican principles.
What?
All departments rank equally, and everybody is the head of his department.
I see.
I'm afraid you're annoyed.
No, I won't say that. It's not quite what I expected.
I'm awfully sorry.
So am I.
By the by, can I offer you anything after your voyage? A plate of macaroni and a rusk?
No, no, nothing. Nothing.
Obliged to be careful?
Yes. Doubt. You see, in every court there are distinctions that must be observed.
There are there?
Why, of course. For instance, you wouldn't have a Lord High Chancellor play leapfrog with his own cook.
Why not?
Why not? Because a Lord High Chancellor is a personage of great dignity, who should never, under any circumstances, place himself in the position of being told to tuck in his tuppenny, except by noblemen of his own rank. A Lord High Archbishop, for instance, might tell a Lord High Chancellor to tuck in his tuppenny. But certainly not a cook, gentlemen. Certainly not a cook.
Not even a Lord High Cook.
My good friend. That is a rank that is not recognized at the Lord Chamberlain's office.
Yes, sir.
No, no, it won't do. I'll give you an instance in which the experiment was tried. There lived a king, as I've been told, the father working in days of old, when hearts were twice as good as gold, and 20 times as mellow. Temper triumphed in his face, and in his heart he found a place for all the human race, and every wretched fellow. When he had Rhenish wine to drink, it made him very sad to think that some had jug and all as deep must be content with toddy. For men as rich as he, and he was rich as rich could be. So to the top of every tree, promoted everybody.
Now that time of King Bobby, he wished for men as rich as he. So to the top of every tree, promoted everybody.
For chancellors were cheap as bread, and bishops in their shovel heads were plentiful as tabby cats, in point of fact too many. And as the doors dropped up like hay, by ministers and such as they grew like asparagus in hay, and dukes were three a penny. On every side field marshals gleamed, small bill the lords lieutenant steamed, with heavy as the ocean teemed, or out his wide dominion. And 40 leaders you might meet, be twos and threes in every street, maintaining with no little heat their various opinions.
Now that I should call a thing to party leaders in each street, maintaining with no little heat their various opinions.
That king, although no one denies, his heart was of abnormal size. Yet he'd have acted otherwise if he had been a tutor. He and his easy portal, when every blessed thing you hold is made of silver or gold, you long for simple pewter. When you have nothing else to wear but cloth of gold and sad thread, for love of gold you cease to care, up goes the price of shoddy. Henceforth, whoever you may be, to this conclusion you'll agree. When everybody is somebody, then no one's anybody.
Now that's plain as plain can be, to this conclusion we agree. When everyone is somebody, then no one's anybody. Thank you.
And now I have some important news to communicate. His Grace the Duke of Plaza Toro, Her Grace the Duchess, and their beautiful daughter, Casilda. I say their beautiful daughter, Casilda.
We heard you.
They have arrived at Barataria and may be here at any moment.
The Duke and Duchess are nothing to us.
But the daughter, the beautiful daughter. You're a lucky dog, one of you.
I think you're a very incomprehensible old gentleman.
Not a bit. I'll explain. Many years ago, when you, whichever you are, were a baby, you, whichever you are, were married to a little girl who has grown up to be the most beautiful young lady in Spain. That beautiful young lady will be here to claim you, whichever you are, in half an hour. And I congratulate that one, whichever it is, with all my heart.
Married when a baby? But we were married 3 months ago.
One of you. Only one. The other, whichever it is an unintentional bigamist.
Well, upon my word!
Who are these young people?
Who are we? Why, they're wives, of course. We just arrived.
They're wives. Oh, dear, this is very unfortunate. Oh, dear, this complicates matters. Dear, dear, what will Her Majesty say?
But do you mean to say that one of these monarchs was already married?
And that neither of us will be a queen?
That is the idea I intended to convey.
Oh, Tessa, my dear, dear child,
I... Get away. Perhaps it's you.
My poor, poor little woman.
Don't. Who knows whose husband you are? And pray, why didn't you tell us all about it before they left Venice?
Because if I had, no earthly temptation would have induced these gentlemen to leave two such extremely fascinating and utterly irresistible little ladies.
There's something in that.
I may mention that you will not be kept long in suspense, as the old lady who nursed the royal child is at present in the torture chamber waiting for me to interview her.
Poor old girl. Hadn't you better go and put her out of her suspense?
Oh, no, there's no hurry. She's all right. She has all the illustrated papers. However, I'll go and interrogate her. And in the meantime, may I suggest the absolute propriety of your regarding yourselves as single young ladies. Good evening.
Well, here's a pleasant state of things.
Delightful. One of us is married to two young ladies, and nobody knows which. The other is married to one young lady whom nobody can identify.
And one of us is married to one of you. And the other is married to nobody.
But which of you is married to which of us, and what's to become of the other?
It's quite simple, observe. Two husbands have managed to acquire three wives. Three wives, two husbands. That's two-thirds of a husband to each wife.
Oh, Mount Vesuvius, here we are in arithmetic.
My good sir, one can't marry a vulgar fraction.
You've no right to call me a vulgar fraction.
We are getting rather mixed. The situation is entangled. Let's try and comb it out.
Clear.
But if I could be so fitted, we were the
That was a big one, wasn't it?
Yeah. What was that noise?
Oh, this is our calculator. I'm still tapping away and getting some things. You know what I like to do? I like to get a huge error message, you know? And they go 9,999, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Error message sounds like something you'd get on the telephone.
Yeah, and you multiply it times 99 and you get something like...
E.
Yeah. You sure do. Except the printer wasn't on, so you didn't hear that. Let's try that one more time. There it goes.
Yep. Do you mean to tell me you've been playing with that silly printing calculator all this time?
Yeah, all through
I went down for a soda.
Gilbert and Sullivan. It's really a lot of fun. Every time I hear this now, I'm going to think about Gilbert and Sullivan.
And the Dolly cart.
Or every time I hear, every time I play with this, I'll think of...
Gilbert and Sullivan.
No, but, I mean the other way around.
Oh.
Never mind.
Mm.
So, it's 2:50 in the morning, and in case you're wondering, we did just hear from Gilbert and Sullivan.
That's right. Say, can I just...
The Gondoliers. Cox and Box.
Cox and Box.
Yeah.
COX and BOX.
With dialogue.
Yeah.
Complete dialogue.
As the ceremonial door opens and shuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look what just came in.
WUSB is the island, and the island is commercial free. Keep your dial glued to 90.1 FM, commercial free, all year long.
Hey, we normally don't give you all this hype stuff on USB, but do tune in. You might like it. WUSB, Stony Brook.
The time.
Yeah. Let's just give out our phone number as in this little tape.
The number you have reached, 246-7901, has been changed. The new number has been disconnected. Please try your call again later, and an operator will answer. 246-7901 has been disconnected. The new number is not in service. Please try your call again later, and an operator will answer.
Special operator, what number did you dial?
What number did we dial?
246-7901. That may not happen. It may, though. I don't know. All kinds of weird things happen.
We once got that message to actually show up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a fight I got into her earlier in the show.
Got into her?
Yeah, I mean, what a fight I got into with... It's late, Mike. It's really late.
It is.
Into with her earlier in the show at about 12 o'clock.
That's true. I heard that. I was in here. I was listening. I was cracking up.
Yeah, you didn't come in to save me, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I couldn't leave the studio. What was that you just ripped up?
Your paycheck.
Oh.
What's that?
Your paycheck.
Next week's paycheck.
Next year's salary.
This year's contract.
Your death certificate.
Your birth certificate.
Your marriage license.
Okay, enough of this.
What was that you really ripped up?
Would you like to know?
I guess I would.
Oh, boy. How carefree can we get? I mean, we're just not like any other radio station, you know?
Hi, I'm Big Bucksman. You know me, Whiz Kid program director for that rock and roll station at the other end of the dial.
I know him.
Well, whenever the Titan repetitive playlist on our station pours me to tears, I listen to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. It's the freshest, most innovative music on the island. WUSB, the music I want to hear
before I want to know
it.
Oh, yeah. Good song, good song. And the people who do that song, Fred from Jupiter, are only like about 2 years old.
Ah.
Did I turn you off by mistake? I'm sorry.
Did you scream?
Yeah, I heard you screaming through a wall. Sorry about that. No, but they're only a couple of years old, those kids who do that song.
A couple, more like 11 and 12, right?
Well, that's a few, yeah. All right. Give them that much.
Yeah.
So, Mike, we journeyed far today. We went to Ottawa trying to find out an answer to a question. We didn't have to go to Ottawa, and we never did make it to the 800 information operator.
We got thrown on the right track from a listener in Northport. So
well,
that's
good.
Northport, yes.
Yeah. Oops.
Uh-oh. What was that? It sounded like a screw loose.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. The studio is falling apart here. Sorry about that. Yeah, thanks go out to Northport and to Central Islip for the question in the first place, and to all sorts of other places. Where did the question for Bob Marley come from? I believe that was Patchogue.
Yes.
Among other things. Now what do we have? Hold on, Mike. I'm going to just answer the phone.
Okay.
USB.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, how are you?
Okay, who's this?
This is just an alert listener from Stony Brook.
Hi, listener from Stony Brook. What do you think of the show so far?
Oh, it sounds absolutely terrible. Absolutely.
Okay, all right, enough of that. All right. We welcome your calls here on USB, but just don't say the wrong thing to us, okay?
And don't hang up the phone like that. I mean, be reasonable, huh?
Yeah, huh? Don't drop the phone. We don't like to hear phones being dropped unless it's on purpose.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
256 on
I'm
the
glad that we have
AM
the touch tone in here now. Oh, hey, you know what I wanted to show?
What do you want to show? You can't show things on the radio, Mike. When are you going to learn that?
Well, this is important.
Okay.
Oops. I dialed the wrong thing.
Uh-oh.
Identification number, please. Gail Violet. Thank you for calling TSA Flight Check. All flights are on schedule except for the following. Flight 115 from Burbank, scheduled to arrive at 8:39 a.m., has been canceled due to weather conditions. Please call your PSA reservation agent for additional flight information, and thank you for flying TSA. Thank you for calling TSA Flight Sac. All flights are on schedule except for the following. Flight 115 from Burbank, scheduled to arrive at 8:39 a.m., has been diverted to Ontario Airport due to weather conditions at Los Angeles International Airport. Alternate transportation will be provided to all passengers upon arrival at Ontario. For additional information, please call your TSA reservation agent, and thank you for flying TSA. Thank you for calling TSA Flight Sac. All flights arriving